You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
When a nation forgets God, before I have prayer, last week in Deuteronomy 28, and it shall come to pass that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice, if we hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set on thee high above all the nations of the earth. I wish America would listen to that. We dethrone God, we shoot ourselves in the foot. And last week we noticed the word blessing. And all these blessings shall come upon thee. What are those blessings? You'll be blessed in the city, verse 3, and you'll be blessed in the field. You shall be blessed by the fruit of thy body and the fruit of the ground, the fruit of the cattle, the increase of the kine or the cow, and the flocks of the sheep. And you can be blessed by the basket and the store. Food is in abundance. Blessed shall be the when thou comest in, and thou when you goest out. Verse 8, the Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in the storehouse, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God. Well, we sing God blessed America, he already has. But we remove the blessing of God. Now, our Father, tonight, help me to be able to take this scripture of Deuteronomy 28. We saw it last week. We continue this chapter tonight. When a nation forgets God, and yet we don't believe it's too late. We're down in the gutter. Sometimes I think we're below the gutter. We're in the sewer. We're in the swamp. The churches have failed you. Pastors, we have failed you. It's not Mr. Biden. It's not Mr. Trump. It's not the Supreme Court. It's not the legislature. It's not these governors. It's my people. We're not nearing judgment. We're under judgment because we've rejected thee. And I pray that churches that are now closed on Sunday night would open their doors again. Churches that sit empty tonight, churches where there's no preaching tonight, where there's no invitation. Nobody's going to surrender to the mission field tonight. No one to get saved. I got saved, Lord, on a Sunday night. I'm so glad and grateful the church house was open. And I pray that there be a revival beating in the hearts of each and every one of us for righteousness. May that begin in my life, God. I write to myself, I see it as the word of God says, oh, wretched man that I am. Lord, I need revival. I want revival. And I don't want to be the hindrance. Help me walk holy before thee and godly before thee and self-denial before thee and mortifying myself before thee. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. World War I came and millions died from Americans. And in that time, it was an awful time. In 1919, it was drawing to a close, and then on top of that came the Spanish flu. 50 million people died nationwide, worldwide. And then on top of that came the collapse of our economy in 29. It lasted 11 years. And right on the top of that, at the same time, came the Dust Bowl. It reached from Mexico all the way up to Canada and literally stripped the soils in Texas and in Oklahoma, taking off inches and some places a foot and more of the, and no rain, and people in Kansas and all throughout the farm belt all were displaced and began to move all over the country. And on top of that, when that was still going on, World War II broke out. And World War II was that time when men were being shipped off around the globe to the battlefront, and millions died, millions of Americans died. And you see all these things happening. But back home, Rosie the Riveter was here. She would go to work, the work the night shift, and she would take her three children, husbands that were at War II, fighting Nazism and socialism. And her husband over there, many of them died there. And Rosie the Riveter, she went to the munitions plants, and they didn't build cars in America those 4 years. Brother Shelton, was it four? They stopped building, or five? Five years they stopped building. So you did not own, someone said, I owned a 45 Ford. You didn't own a 45 Ford. They didn't make them. They made airplanes there. And the ladies were making them, and they made munitions, and all that was taking place. But Rosie, what they called her Rosie the Riveter, referred to all these young ladies and these young mothers. And she would go to work at the night shift, and she'd take her three kids and leave her with the neighbor lady that worked the day shift. And they would trade a hard life for those ladies. Oh, but then some of their husbands were able to come home, and some were battle scarred. But something was happening in America. In the 30s, great churches were being established. People knew through all these, whether it was World War I or the Dust Bowl or the collapse of the economy and the Black Friday and in October of 29, all those things. And they started to look up, and churches began to explode. There's no such thing as our churches being closed on Sunday night. They were open. Churches began to be great soul winning churches. There was a man who lived in Paducah, real close, about 40 miles from Brother Andy Harrell, where we were supposed to have a meeting today, but they couldn't get into the meeting, and he told them, don't come. They were there in the city. They were in a hotel, and he gave them a love offering. Thank you, Brother Harrell, for the love offering. But I want to say this. In Paducah, there was a man, and the South was, pardon me, having such a hard time, that men and women began to move up north. They wound up in Chicago, and they wound up in Detroit, and they wound up in these places that were where factories were going. And they went to Ohio, and Ohio, things were really popping, particularly at the Goodyear rubber plant. It was the number one producer of any rubber, and rubber was rather new still in the world, but the rubber industry was going full steam ahead. And there's a man that was from a very godly home, and he and his wife moved up to a city in Ohio. While he was there, he worked at Goodyear, and he worked in the factory, and he won souls everywhere he went. He just was passionate about souls, and he'd go back down to Paducah and hold a revival meeting, and then come back to work at the factory. And one night, he announced that, I'm going to be having revival beginning tomorrow night, a sagebrush, and I want people to just come. Just give them one day notice. And on Monday night, about 300 people showed up. And on Tuesday night, it doubled that. And before the week was over, they were having 5,000 people in the brush arbor. They just kept cutting away brush and then meat. And people were getting saved. In time, he said, I believe God's called me to preach. And he started a church. My mind slips me right now. I think 1931 or 1939, 33, I think. And that first Sunday in that public school building, his offering was $1.18, and they were rejoicing. Churches like that were growing, and out of that church he started, they started the Akron Baptist Temple. Brother Reimers knows that, because it began the Canton Baptist Temple out of Akron Baptist. And Canton Baptist mirrored Akron Baptist Temple. And it mirrored it in the fact that the preachers went visiting every single day in that church. The preachers, the pastors, there was five pastors in Akron. They were required to make 50 to 60 home visits a week, each one, to get in the homes, win people to Christ. And the Akron Baptist Church grew so much. In fact, on their 25th anniversary, they had 50,000 people in church on that Sunday. That they started Canton Baptist Temple. And there was a little girl, third grade. Her dad was maybe like an agnostic who did not believe in God. And her mother was basically almost like a chain smoker. But that three-year-old girl, Brother Reimer's mother, third grade girl, went to Vacation Bible School. And the pastor went back to the home that week and let the dad and the mother, your grandparents, to Christ. Your grandpa just went to be the Lord. I never knew it, but wait a minute. We helped to start a church. We sent money to a church in what later became your home church in Newington, Connecticut, in Wallingford, Connecticut, 40-some years ago. I'd go there and I met a sweet old couple. That was your grandparents. I never knew that till a few years ago. That was in Akron. Ohio had the big church in Cincinnati. They had five churches running 5,000 more. It was exploding. It was spreading all over America. There was a documentary of this Akron Baptist Temple. Several of you watched 15 minutes, and I cut it down to a few minutes, Brother Moyer did. I want you to see this. I've never done this for preaching. I want you to see this because it relates to where we're going tonight, just real briefly, if you will.
So excited Akron, Ohio, as it became the Akron Baptist Temple.
A vast expanse of building that was one of the first megachurches in the United States. Akron Baptist Temple would get its modest beginnings in 1935 with just 80 members. It was headed by Dallas F. Billington, a Southern evangelist who had moved to Akron to work at Goodyear Tire. In just 6 months, the church had grown to over 500 members, and they built their first building in 1937. They continue to grow, necessitating speakers placed outside for those who could not fit into the pews, and by 1948, membership was at 10,000 when a new 2,800-seat auditorium was constructed that remains today.
Here's like the main entranceway. Oh yeah, so then the main church is right over this thing. Oh, wow, yeah, there she is, the stained glass window. Look at that thing. These were all recordings. Oh, wow! Yeah, this is the sermons they had.
Akron Baptist Temple would be at the forefront of new ministries over the years. Even before their first building, they had been producing radio programs which would culminate in owning their own record label that put out numerous gospel records. Services would be broadcast weekly on WAKR-TV.
Here's some more recordings. Oh yeah, look at this. They've got all of their recordings still saved here. Look at all of these. All those are full of them too.
In 1938, they would pioneer the concept of bus ministries when they purchased two school buses to pick up children for Sunday school. That number would expand to around 40 buses that would pick up anyone in the city on Sundays to bring them to the church. By 1969, they were the largest Sunday school in the world, with almost 6,000 students in attendance.
Look at this. They had it as just a jungle theme. Yeah, look at this big mural they had for aquariums. Yeah, the higher up you get, the older.
After his death, a 24-hour vigil was held for over 18,000 mourners to pay their respects to Dallas Billington in 1972. In 1978, the original temple was replaced with a 4,000-seat building, even though sometimes attendance would reach 7,000. Just 2 years after opening, the new church would catch fire by suspected arson. It was rebuilt to the current 4,000-seat auditorium, which sits on 29 acres of land.
There's not enough ink in the world and enough white paper for you to write what will cost you to miss heaven.
Judas could have had his name in the foundation walls of Jesse. But he didn't. You have all that this world has to offer. And when you die, it's all down here.
The bridge. And I think, does this lead back out to the... Hey, I found another auditorium.
In 2018, Akron Baptist Temple would sell the building and move outside of the city, rebranding to Connect Church. Scrappers and vandals quickly found their way into the building, which has deteriorated to the state seen here. In 2023, the city applied for $12 million in grants to demolish several large buildings, including the megachurch.
When you see that, because not only did the city buy it, but now they're tearing it down. And a place that used to be a hotbed for soul winning and separation and conviction and preaching and tithing and service and running buses all over the city. Now there it is. His son took over, did a tremendous job. Dr. Billington's son did a great job for decades, kept just like his dad. And then another took over. They dropped the name Baptist. They dropped the name Church. So we have it going all over the country right now. The rose, the vine, the grape, the orange, the cornerstone, whatever you want to call it. I like the word Baptist.
Amen.
It identifies us who we are. I'm not ashamed of the word Baptist. I'm glad for Roger Williams, that first Baptist preacher in America, and the heritage that Baptists have in this country on this Memorial Day. Way back when Rhode Island was established as the first place in the world for religious freedom in the 1600s. Thank God for America. Thank God for Baptists. I'm not ashamed of the word church, a called out assembly of Christians. I'm called out of this world. We're not a fellowship. We're not a group. I'm not ashamed that we preach around here. This is not Seminar City. This is God's house. I'm not ashamed that we have a choir, have an orchestra, have a songbook. We're not going to borrow from the charismatics and Christianize it, make it Baptist. No, I want to keep an old-time religion. Because I tell you what's going to happen, if it happened that big 4,000 and 5,000 seat auditorium that homeless people took it over and destroyed it and they moved out, it's all coming down. This is going to be torn down one day too if we allow it. I pray not in my lifetime. I pray not my kids or grandkids, but somewhere along the line, we're going to get the idea. We dropped it. We just had another church. We helped to start it 40 some years ago, and we gave them money for it. And now they decided it's not going to be Baptist. Well, it's really shying people away. So we'll just be the sequoia or the vine or the whatever it is. We don't want anybody to know what we are. Let people know we're an independent, fundamental, separated, sin-hating, King James Bible preaching church. Amen. Now here's a nation that God says, I'll bless you if you just do these things. But he brings another word in. Last week was blessing. Tonight he says the word curse you. Chapter 28, verse 15. I wonder if you could read it with me. 28, 15. Are you ready? Deuteronomy 28, 15. Ready? Begin. But it shall come to pass. God's going to introduce this word, not blessing, but the curses. And here's what he says the first curse is. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed in the field. We saw the opposite of that last week in verse 3. God says, I'll bless the city. You know what Santa Clara, California needs? Not more government. Not more environmental rules, and they're coming down all the time. Not more regulation, not more government taking. It's we, the people, and the governed are governed by the people. But today the governed think they govern us. Is that how it works? God said, I'll bless the city. You know why Santa Clara needs his church? Santa Clara needs him. Well, no, we don't need, we have all the computer fields here. We have the great chip makers here. They're within, that man on the corner was just paid $6.4 billion as he retired. That man over there was paid over $6 billion as he retired. One's about three blocks from the church. One's about eight blocks from the church. Well, we don't need God. We've got money. Yeah, but I'm going to tell you something. Your money's going to dry up, friend. Because you're going to be under the curse of God in the city and in the field. Notice what the Bible says, I'll curse, verse 17, cursed shall be thy basket in thy store. Remember last week in verse 5, he said, I'll bless your basket. This week, verse number 18, curse it, verse 18, cursed shall be the fruit of thy body. And the land and the increase of the kind and the flocks and the sheep. But remember last week we saw in verse 4, God said, I'll bless those things. What brings the blessing of God? Obedience. What brings the curse of God? Disobedience. That's why children, the biggest lesson you need to learn right now in your life, husbands love, wives submit, children obey. Children obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right.
Yes, amen.
One day, God willing, you'll be able to outlive your parents. One day, as my wife and I have seen, and both of us, we've seen our parents put in a casket and laid to rest. No, I wasn't a perfect son. But I never one time deliberately brought tears to my parents' eyes, and I never one time had them have them pray that I was such a rebel, I needed to get off drugs or off a drink. And those things may have happened in your life. You may not have had the best home life. Like I had the perfect home life. My wife had a good home life. Wait a minute. You're still responsible. You're responsible. You can, people backslide. Well, it's my parents' fault. Well, it's my grandparents. Well, it's the school. Well, it's the church. Well, it's the pastor. Well, you can blame all you want about anybody, but if the person you tuck in bed at night is responsible for his decisions. God continues with this curse. He says in verse number 19, cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in and when thou goest out. But remember last week he said you're going to be blessed when you come in, verse 6, and when you're blessed when you go out. Look what he says in verse 21. The Lord shall make pestilence cleave unto thee. Well, what in the world is pestilence? It's disease. It's called things like COVID. COVID. This is just the beginning, because Matthew 24 says in these last days, there'll be pestilence all the time. Because when a nation forgets God, the repercussions of that is pestilence. Look what it continues in verse number 22, this cursing. The Lord shall smite thee with consumption. What is that? Disease of the lungs. And inflammation and fever. And extreme burning. And the Lord shall, verse 24, make the rain of thy land powder and dust. Environmentalists, they want to say, well, global warming, or global climate change, or global this, or global that. God sends the rain. God sends the snow. God sends, the Bible says, the ice. God sends the hail. God sends it all. Why? Man is not in charge of the weather. God is.
Amen.
So, we don't have as much water as we used to have. Why? It's the curse from God.
Right.
Go back to God.
Oh.
I was meeting for this building with a political person who also has a business, and Brother Lupke was in that meeting. And they're all about this environmental plant you gotta have, environmental trees, and gotta get rid of green grass. And I said, hold it right there. You were there. I said, I was raised right over here in Centerville, Fremont, California. And I was taught in the 50s and 60s, grass and trees are good. They're good for the environment. And they said, well, she said, yes, the trees are, but not grass. Grass. Oh, no. God talks about the grass of the field. And God waters the grass of the field. But why is he not watering? Because we are under the judgment hand of God. And it's going to get worse. I said, you know what? We've got enough water around it. Oh, no, we don't. I said, okay, where's all the water go when it rains? Into the storm drain. And where does that go? It goes into the canals. And where does that go? To the ocean. We haven't built a reservoir for over 60 years in California. Why? Because the environmentalists said it's bad for the environment. How can you be so dumb? Because they've rejected God. The rain, the snow that comes from Washington State, from Oregon, comes to California. As soon as it gets here, they divert it out to the ocean. I remember a man was running for president a few years ago, and they said California could be green 12 months out of the year. Every hill could be green if you just took that water. Instead of sending it to the smelt or whatever you want to send it to, you send it to the state. But environmentalists make foolish rules. Why? They've forgotten God. God's in charge. And when the rain stops, it's because God. And when the floods come, it's because God is always in control. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 24, the Lord shall make the rain. Verse 25, the Lord shall cause you to be smitten before thine enemies. In other words, America, I dread it if you go to war, because America so rejected God, I don't know if we can win a war. Greatest military in all the world. We didn't win a Vietnam. Verse 27, the Lord shall smite them with the botch of Egypt, and with the emeralds, and with the scab, and with the itch that cannot be healed. And the Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. Verse number 35, and the Bible says, the Lord shall smite thee in the knees and the legs. Verse 36, the Lord shall bring thee and thy king, which thou shalt set over thee, a nation which neither thy fathers are known, and thou shalt serve other gods, wood and stone. Go back to chapter 27, please. Verse 15, 27, 15. Cursed be the man that maketh a graven image, abomination. Verse 16, cursed is he that setteth light by his father and mother. Cursed shall that be removed if you remove your neighbor's landmark.
when you disrespect your neighbor. Cursed shall he that blind and wander in the way. Cursed shall be that perverteth judgment. Cursed be he that lieth with his father's wife. Cursed be he that lieth with a beast. Cursed be he that lieth with his sister, the daughter of his father. Cursed be he that lieth with his mother-in-law. Cursed be he that smiteth his neighbor secretly. Cursed be he that taketh inward and slay the innocent person. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law and do them. God says, I'll put a curse on you. When a nation forgets God, you do not have the blessing of God, you have the curse of God. And I'm weary with people saying, you know what, we keep doing this, we're going to be under the judgment hand of God. No, sir, we are under the judgment hand of God. When a nation can slaughter 2 million babies a year in the mother's womb, you're already under the judgment hand of God. When a nation begins to legitimize man with man and woman with woman, you're under the judgment hand of God. Look at Sodom and Gomorrah. God says it's an abomination. Abomination is a stench in the nostrils of God. Why? God created male and female, and he said replenish, and 2 men cannot have a baby. Then they're wondering, say, we're not having enough children born to even, you have to, society has to have a certain amount of children to sustain the society. What are we going to do? China said, okay, we'll get to have one baby. Well, now they're having to rethink that because they're having problems with the workforce. I want you to know, friend, we're not going toward the curse. We are under the curse. I'm old enough, it really doesn't, no big deal. All I have to have is a heart attack and I'm out of here. But not those 14 grandkids of ours. They're going to live with the foolishness of mother and dad's, grandma and grandpa, papa and nana's decisions. That's why this altar needs to be so bathed in tears of grandparents begging God for your children, spare the country. God's always looking for someone to spare the country. Over 300 years, he gave judges, 13 judges, and those judges were there, and God raised them up, and the people cried unto the Lord in their despair and abomination, and God heard that prayer, and God sent him always a man of God to speak to them and brought them back to God. But then they began to prosper, and they forgot about God. What's the answer tonight? Same answer as last week. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way, then will I hear from heaven and will heal their land. I close, I have a letter in my hand. The letter's been in my file since March the 5th, 2024. He's speaking about our Revival Time broadcast. We were emphasizing that month, the buses. Dear Dr. Treiber, thank you for your program, for staying faithful all these years. I'm sorry I missed your program on the bus day. I just showed you Akron, Ohio. I was raised in Akron, Ohio. We were poor, without a car. So we rode the church bus to Akron Baptist Temple, where Dr. Dallas Billington was the pastor. My father was saved as an adult rider, and years later he served as a deacon at Akron Baptist Temple. Later I was saved. I became a pastor. And still later I became a missionary. And my sister married a preacher, and all three of our daughters have married preachers. It all started one Saturday, just like on a Saturday at your house and several, many others. It started on a Saturday morning when a bus worker knocked on the door of a poor family in the Hillwood Homes Project, built for wives from World War II veterans. Brother Treiber, I'm now 84 years old, and I still remember my bus worker's name, Mr. Brunton. Dr. Treiber, thank you for being such a good friend to me. Oh, by the way, that 7-year-old boy who rode the Sunday school bus is now 84. I'm retired. Our gracious God has allowed him to found a Bible printing ministry called Bearing Precious Seed. We have now printed over 240 million copies of the scriptures in 64 languages for 104 nations. That knock on the Saturday morning is still being heard around the world as 3 of our children are in the ministry and 7 our grandchildren as well. All the glory goes to God, Dr. Charles Keene. This year we bought another 100,000 Bibles from this ministry. Akron Baptist Temple. Someone sent me that video and I saw it on my phone. It just broke my heart. To think that that great place, I have books about it. I was reading, I just read in the last couple of weeks, God is Real from Dr. Dallas Billington. Wrote it how that God was with them every step of the way. When the city officials began to fight his church, when they arrested him because he had too many people on the property and he had a court appearance. And when they got out of room and they put speakers outside and people sat in their cars and listened because they couldn't get them in. And some of the neighbors began, they took him to court and jailed him over that. He advised the presidents of the United States of America during World War II, gave advice and gave direction to senators, to the Supreme Court, to the President of the United States. All because a man who was born in poverty had the touch of God on his life, and at the Goodyear rubber plant, he took the gospel and he preached in Goodyear's plant, and he preached everywhere he went. He preached in jails. He was all over that town. They arrested him because during World War II, you had stamps for gasoline. And he'd use all of his stamps. What would he do? Going preaching in meetings and brush arbors and going to people's homes. And people in the church began to give them the stamps. And the church found out, the government found out, said they can't do that, and arrested him over that. But when the trial came, they said, okay, you're a needed person in the city of Akron. You're a helping people that are dealing with grief with World War II. You can use those stamps to get gasoline. The man owned the city. But look at Akron today. Akron is not what it used to be. Santa Clara is blessed to have you, North Valley Baptist Church. Let's bring the blessings of God to this city. Let us not bring a curse. Let's stand together, please. Our Father, when a nation forgets God, it's always because of the church. And here we see a church building empty that was one time filled, and choirs it would sing, it is well with my soul. And the touch of God was there, and revival was there, and people were getting saved all the time. And we see how it's just been destroyed. The great, great Tennessee Temple School, 5,000 Bible college students, homeless people have taken over those buildings. 12,000 people were coming. I remember that day. The Church of the Green Light, Dr. Lee Robertson, and now it's all blackened with just dirt and filth coming down the sides of those buildings, and bricks are falling apart. Oh God, please, please, dear God, spare our nation, and may it be spared because of your people. Maybe we get serious about Saturday night's prayer meeting, Wednesday night midweek service. God, do a great work as folks are coming down these aisles right now.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.